So in our religious alphabet, we have reached the letter Q. And I'll talk about the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of all, meaning the Virgin Mary. She's called Queen not because she's the wife of a king. I mean, the king is God. She's nobody's wife. But we know that God the Father is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Virgin Mary is the mother of Jesus Christ. And also because she played that role, she is called Queen. She is our queen. We have no other queen. Anyway, in 2 days, on Tuesday, we'll be celebrating the Annunciation of the Theotokos, March 25th, one of the great feasts of the church, actually considered the first feast, not like the greatest, although it is pretty great. The greatest is Pascha and then Pentecost. But it's called the first feast because all the other events kind of derive from that. And if you were present at our Christmas program, or if you've read your Bible, you know what happened at the Annunciation. But we should say some things about the Theotokos, the Virgin Mary, that she's praised and exalted and held in the highest esteem, but not because she was born that way. Okay, some theologies would like to say that she was conceived in a peculiar, special way, Immaculate Conception or something, that made her, you know, pure and perfect and sinless by nature as opposed, rather than by choice. Okay, but Joachim and Anna were her biological parents in every sense of the word, and she was born, but it doesn't mean that she wasn't chosen from a long time ago or that it wasn't foreseen what she would be. There's a hymn that the choir chants at matins frequently enough, and it says, O Theotokos, through you became manifest to all the mystery that was hid from eternity and which the angels did not know. And that mystery was that God was going to become man. So it was kind of a secret, and then God got his sort of special agent, Gabriel, and gave him a secret message and said, go tell this to her. She's been chosen. Again, it wasn't that at that moment God was looking at the world to see who could he find, you know, that would be worthy to be the mother of God. I mean, we plan things more ahead, you know, than that. Certainly God had planned it, as a matter of fact, from probably creation itself, creating Adam and Eve so that he could at some point, you know, become human and find the vessel and have the vessel, prepare the vessel, the Virgin Mary, that he would become incarnate. So the Virgin Mary was born biologically the same as all of us was. However, obviously we know that the Lord was conceived in a completely different way. Otherwise, if there was no new conception, there would be no new humanity. The Lord would have been born, if the Lord had a human father and a human mother, then, you know, human nature, which was sick and fallen and mortal, would have been transmitted to him. So the new kind of birth, like the Holy Fathers say, a new kind of birth needed to be devised. And that was the virgin birth. And St. John of Damascus, one of the great fathers of the church, will write that at the time of her acceptance, that the Virgin Mary accepted, and when the actual conception took place, in some miraculous way, the embryo of Jesus, you know, was planted in a miraculous way in her womb, already an embryo, already the formed, you know, person, and then grew the rest of the way, you know, and was born. I mean, okay. But I mean, it was a peculiar new way. And we also have a peculiar and new way of birth by extension, and that's called holy baptism, because in baptism we die and are born again. So that's why we are able to have a new humanity and a new nature and participate in the Lord's death and resurrection through that. So anyway, we will be celebrating on Tuesday morning the matins and the liturgy of this great feast. And because many of y'all work and are otherwise preoccupied during the day, there's also an after sort of feast. And on Tuesday evening at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a Vesper service that's going to re-celebrate basically the feast, and it will be followed by a fish dinner. The feast of the Annunciation is so important and exalted that it even triggers a kind of relaxing of the fasting rules by 2 degrees, if you want to think of it that way. No, not meat. No, not eggs. No, not cheese. But on the day of the Annunciation, the church relaxes the fast and says, let's have fish and oil and wine and all those things that go with that category. Anyway, let's stand and pray.